Chapter 58. The ship carrying Charlie to his new training camp left the very next morning, whisking him off to yet another world. Only this time, he wouldn't be someone's pack mule. His work would be grueling, no doubt, but as a gladiator in training, he would be afforded at least a modicum of respect, or so he hoped. Only two others accompanied him on a small craft, gladiator hopefuls who had volunteered to be trained in hopes of bettering their circumstances. It was a rare thing, a non-slave entering the profession, but when times were tough, tough men sometimes resorted to unusual measures. Binny and Gawk were the men's names, the former a slender greenish species, likely a close cousin of the Tslaver, while the latter was pinkish and nearly indistinguishable from human. They were both in excellent spirits for men who were about to be beaten and forged into hardened fighters, though given the scars each bore, Charlie had a feeling they'd both already seen their share of conflicts.
"Hey, Charlie, how much longer do you think it'll be before we get there?" Binny asked.
"I told you an hour ago, Binny. I have no idea when we'll get there. Geez, next thing you'll tell me is you have to pee."
"Well, I do, but I didn't think that was relevant."
Charlie grinned. In the short time he'd known them, he dared hope he could one day call his two companions friends. They were both of excellent spirit and jest, and were fairly articulate as well, although he also chalked that up to his new owner providing him a far better translation spell than Captain Tour. And then there was that, the magic. Spells and powers running everything from toilets to spaceships. Charlie had slowly, but finally, come to grips with the notion that what they called magic was, whatever its source, their version of technology, completely normal and integrated into all aspects of daily life. For that matter, Charlie figured his technology and science would probably seem akin to magic to the denizens of this galaxy, though a rather inelegant variant from what he'd seen of their sensibilities.
"I hear Barood is one of the greatest fighters ever to stain the arena sands," Gawk commented, idly picking his teeth with a gleaming dagger. "If we can achieve even half of what he has, we will be living like kings."
"Famous beloved kings."
"Yes, Binny, that too," Gawk said.
"And women, don't forget the women."
"Yes, Binny, of course there will be women," he replied with a deep laugh. "And food and wine and all manner of good things. I was going to say, I know, so I said it for you. Now, didn't you have to pee?"
"Ah, yes, thanks for reminding me," he said, trotting off to the head. "He's a good friend, but I swear some days I can't help but wonder if there isn't a little something off up here, you know?" Gawk said, tapping his head. Charlie chuckled and shook his head.
"You both signed up for this of your own free will, Gawk. I'd say there's something wrong with both of your heads."
"Funny, Charlie. But you wait and see. If we excel, glory is ours for the taking."
"I'd settle for a quiet life back home right about now. No adventure, no dragons and aliens, just me and a porch, quietly watching the world do its thing."
"But where's the glory in that?"
"That's the point." He lay back and closed his eyes, resting and regaining his strength. He was nearly at 100%, and from what he heard about his soon-to-be home, he'd need it.
It turned out to be a fairly long flight to the planet he learned was called Habogad. It was a small world covered in dense forests, thick swamps, and rugged mountains. The air was crisp, and the gravity was only slightly heavier than Earth normal. It was there he would come under the tutelage of the great Sir Barood, survivor of hundreds of contests, and now head of his own training center. Their arrival was not greeted with fanfare or attention, but rather a lone man of average height and build, dressed in a plain tunic, waiting to show them to their quarters.
"But where's Sir Barood?" Gawk asked. "I thought..."
"Oh, you'll meet him soon enough," the man said with a knowing look. "But for now, you are to go to your new lodging and become situated. You may walk the grounds, but do not venture outside the compound unattended."
"Why, are there animals out there?" Binny asked.
"Because it is what Sir Barood wishes," the man answered plainly. "Now please, follow me. You will receive your novice tunics in the morning. Training begins at sunrise. I suggest you eat heartily and get a good night's sleep. You will need it."
You hear that? Benny chirped with excitement. We're going to begin training tomorrow. We're going to learn to kick ass.
Their guide merely smiled and quietly led them to their room.
This sucks, Charlie said, standing atop a slender pole on one foot, balancing a meter above the ground, holding a tiny cup of water in each outstretched hand.
Tell me again how this is going to be fun, how we're going to learn to kick ass.
Shut up. I didn't know they'd make us do this, Benny grumbled.
Quiet, both of you, Gawk said from his adjacent pole. Don't give them any reason to make things worse.
What could they possibly...
You, Benny, come here,
a burgundy-clad man called from the training field.
You hear that? Now we get to the good stuff, he said, jumping down from his pole and trotting over to the training assistant.
A flurry of swift fists and kicks greeted him upon his arrival, knocking him to the ground.
Did I tell you to spill your water? The man barked.
No, but you said come back to your pole.
Benny's species didn't have tails, but if they did, it would have been planted firmly between his legs as he trudged back to his pole and climbed up.
Once he had regained his balance, the man in burgundy walked to them and eyed them all with steely intensity.
Do see that you don't spill them this time, the man said, then walked away, leaving the trio perched atop their poles.
30 long minutes had passed, and their shoulders were crying out in pain, when a middle-aged wampa with broad shoulders, his hair pulled into a neat ponytail, casually strolled up to them, looking them over like one assesses a horse at market. The three men wisely said nothing, focusing instead on remaining balanced and not spilling any of the water.
I am Sir Barood, he informed them. You are here to learn to be better than you are, stronger, faster, tougher.
He began pacing around the poles, the three wondering if he'd lash out at them. He did no such thing, but rather gave them a speech he'd undoubtedly given hundreds of times before.
You will learn the ways of combat here, the fist, the foot, the sword, and spear.
He paused, lightly kicking the poles the men were standing on, making them shake.
You will also learn the ways of power weapons, the slop, the conus, and if you show true skill, the claith. But before you are allowed to handle a power weapon, you must first learn to control them. To that end, you will each memorize a specific set of commands. I recommend you learn them. Those who do not will be returned to their homes or owners with an unsatisfactory performance report. Any questions?
No one uttered so much as a peep.
Good. When the sun sets, you may descend from your perches, but not a moment sooner. To do so is to court fate.
Without another word, Sir Barood spun on his heel and walked away, leaving Charlie, Benny, and Gawk to their own devices. Charlie silently sang his mnemonic song of magical words to himself, accepting their situation as best he could. The three men didn't budge until the sun was well down, finally climbing to the ground in the dark with the horrible realization that this was going to be far more difficult than they'd imagined.